You're listening to V for Vertigo, episode 16.
Welcome to episode 16 of View for Vertigo, where we just every 2 weeks we talk about two Vertigo trades. My name is Jonathan.
Hello, everybody, and I'm Mark Johnson.
Getting kind of carried away there with the intro music, aren't you?
I know it's long, but man, it's so good. So good. I miss my Warriors. I've been on a YouTube kick. That's a great song. They suck so much now. But they did beat the Mavs last night again. That's not hard to do. Well, if you'd watch sports, you'd understand.
Yeah, I just can't make myself care about sports.
Yeah. You don't watch sports. You don't watch TV. We've got nothing in common. No wonder I feel like I'm talking to myself half the time.
We need a third person to stir things up.
Yeah. Although you and Rebecca were entertaining. And I could not talk. I could not talk. That was always good. My nose is too fucking early. Missing my Yu-Gi-Oh! It's weird. They're like dueling on bikes. I don't get this new Yu-Gi-Oh! Show.
I don't get any of that nonsense.
Well, it's because you don't watch TV.
Well, by that I mean that the Japanese cartoons, they all are kind of crappy to me.
They're alright. Japanese, I mean, they're weird folk, but the one thing they do get right is a duality, borderline gray characters, or characters that are good and evil. They do know how to get that right more than Americans. Those are the shows I do love, and they don't have that character on this Yu-Gi-Oh show. I do miss some Kaiba, some Vegeta. Love it, love them all. I love the guys that start bad and then are good and then are bad and then are kind of good. And they always hate the main character. They're like, I want to be the best. Fuck you. Like, oh, we got to save the world. Yeah, I guess. And they're still like, fuck you at the end. End of the show. I hate you. It's great. It's good stuff. Yeah. Man, I'm so tired. Alright. Hey, should we get down the sort of business, I guess?
Sure, why not?
Actually, you know what? I was going to buy Left 4 Dead because I heard EA published it. Unfortunately, I cannot get it for $20, so I will not get Left 4 Dead.
It should be getting close to that.
$20? That's nice.
At least used.
I'm not going to buy it. No, I don't. No, I want a new game. I got hookups. Why? I don't want to fucking go through GameStop. I hate GameStop.
eBay. Craigslist, something. There's no sense in paying full price for a game. That is just as good used.
Nah, I paid full price for Fire Emblem. It was worth it. I'm trying to support my favorite RPG series. Well, hopefully Shining Force will not get back down again. Yeah. But, you know what? You played Burnout?
I have. I don't like it all that much, but I have played it.
I just started playing it, and you know how it takes a picture of your license?
Mm-hmm.
It took a picture of mine, and my avatar is like, Robert Downey Jr., right? With the black face from Tropic Thunder with the ah!
Yeah.
And then the guy in the voice was like, we'll take this picture. Psh, this is the best you can do. And I was laughing like, yeah, that's the picture I want. Fuck your video camera. is cracking up because the way it looks is like, yeah. It kind of actually looks like my picture on my driver's license. I look like that. My hair is all fucked up. I'm like laughing. Lady made me laugh. I was mad that whole day because I think I watched Hero in silence. I've seen that movie a dozen times, but I watched it again. I was at the DMV so long I could watch a whole fucking movie. I was like, ah, wait, subtitles. So it's a good movie too. Have you seen Heroes? Hero, I mean.
That's with what's his name?
Fuck. I forgot the dude's name. The dude who played Rain Man. And the redheaded chick from A League of Their Own. You know, fuck, who cares? Anyways.
I have seen a movie called Hero that was like some Chinese film.
No, that movie was about? Shit.
That movie was awesome.
You would. Oh, that movie's rubbish. You would like it. How do you dislike anime? Which I'm not a big fan of either. But, like the Wire Fu movies.
Because anime is just lazy animation. It's like, they have, what was it like? It's like 5 frames a second or whatever. It's just, I don't know.
So it's the art that bothers you?
It's not not the style that the characters are drawn in, not that, but just the way they animate it.
It depends on the anime. Some of it is really good. Some of it is really shit. Like anything else. But, Wire Fu? I think if Bruce Lee hadn't died, Wire Fu wouldn't be that big. It's terrible.
I like it. And if it's, like, obviously over-exaggerated, I can kind of enjoy it. But, I mean, when it's used in stuff like Watchmen, it's kind of annoying. We're supposed to be like normal human beings or whatever, and they're doing the Wire Fu kind of stuff.
What? I haven't seen Watchmen. I know you've seen it. You watch a movie like every weekend, right?
Sometimes.
You do, dude. I see your. So like, I'm like, how do you watch so many new movies? I got a stack of movies I borrowed. Some, well, they're no longer in the theaters, and I'm like, I can't even get.
Yeah, like on DVD, I do. But I watch them while I'm working. But during the, pretty much unless it's summer, I see maybe one or two a month in theater.
Fuck. I see like one every 3 or 4 months. I wanted to, okay, don't spoil it for me. Is Watchmen good? Is it worth it? Because if I don't catch a movie within the first 2 weeks, I don't go see it. In the theater.
Well, you're not a big fan of the book, though, right?
It's good. It's not great. It's not, like, the best graphic novel of all time.
I don't know. Like, it looks good, and I mean, it's not a bad movie. But they stuck so close to the source material that, It's kind of weird because of the stuff that they didn't put in. It's like it's noticeable if you've read the book. But I don't know. If you're not a huge fan of Watchmen, I would say just wait for the DVD because like the DVD is supposed to have all the extra stuff that they cut out in it.
Is it only for people that? Is it only for us comic geeks?
No, I think. Well, I mean, I've heard other people say that, but I think personally that you would enjoy it more if you've never read the book. Because you won't notice all the stuff they left out.
I haven't read the book in a couple years. Although I did buy it a couple weeks ago. It's going to be the last thing I read. But I have listened to all the podcasts again, so I might. I don't need to reread it right now. Do they show his junk? Do they show his junk?
Constantly.
Oh, sweet. That's all I wanted to know. I would have watched it last weekend, but fuck, daylight saving time made me oversleep. I was like, fucking hell. And then I called my friend and was like, dude, I'm not going to make it on time. I don't know. It's just I'm not caught up in the Watchmen hype of the movie. It's just like, I don't know. Anyways, what, it reminds me, I guess opening weekend, M Guy said it only made half its budget.
Yeah, it only did like, I think it was 56, yeah. 55, something like that.
And I never understood people that care or follow such things, unless you work in the industry or plan to work in the industry. Why you care how much something makes? Because it really doesn't affect you.
Yeah. No, but like the only reason I would care, which it's only a passing care. I'm not losing sleep over how much money it's making, but I mean it affects the chances of them making something similar to it.
Yeah, but there's
nothing. It's not gonna, however much money it makes, it's not gonna hurt the chances of the next Batman movie or anything like that, but. It does hurt the chances of like a loser's movie or something else that's more of a independent or Vertigo type comic.
But is do you consider Watchmen a superhero book or movie?
In the sense that it has superheroes in it, yeah. But
well, so did The Dark Knight, and everyone's like, "That's not a superhero movie." I'm like, "What the fuck does that mean?" But okay.
I mean, I can understand. Batman, by definition, is a superhero movie, but I can understand why people would say that, because it was more like a murder mystery, or not a murder mystery, but like a crime movie than a superhero movie.
Well, is Watchmen a superhero movie? Or a book? Whatever.
Yeah, it is. But I don't think it's... It's a superhero movie, but not of the same type of superhero movie that, like, Iron Man is.
I don't know. Who cares how much it makes? That shit don't affect me. I got free passes, and I'm still scratching my ass on going to watch the movie. And apparently, M Guy posted just a new thread about Watchmen's projected on the second weekend is going to be $16 million. That's a huge drop off, if that's true.
I don't think it's going to drop off that much. There's nothing coming out this week that's going to challenge it.
Well, he says The Rock's movie is expected to earn $24 million.
But that's a kid's movie, so it wouldn't matter what it is that's going to be up there in the top three.
Well, yeah, but adults. You assume kids aren't going to take them to see Watchmen, but then adults are going to go... Instead of going to Watchmen, they're going to go to The Rock's movie. What happened to The Rock? He's like, he's a good actor, but man, he does some shitty films. I don't know.
I haven't seen that many of his.
Oh, I have. I've seen Doom. Was rubbish.
Yes, it was.
Scorpion King, rubbish. Maybe if it was rated R, it'd be good. The one of the other the Mummy Returns is bad. Walking Tall was
it was alright.
His best movie was The Rundown. That's one of my favorite movies. And then I'm waiting for the sequel, man. Thunder, Lightning. You seen The Rundown?
Not the whole thing.
You should. It's brilliant. And then Christopher Walken with the whole Tooth Fairy bit. That was brilliant. Brilliant. But I don't know. I was going to ask if you're watching a TV show, but I thought you probably aren't.
What?
You see Dollhouse?
I watched the first episode. I wasn't interested.
It's shit. It's so bad. I don't know why I'm watching it. No, I do know why I'm watching it, but...
All the acting was bad. The story doesn't really make all that much sense, and I just... It's like a hero situation, except I hadn't enjoyed the first season, so I don't have anything invested at this point, so I had no problem dropping it straight off the bat.
I don't know if it's worse than Heroes.
But you would really have to be trying to be worse than the last series of Heroes, but... The thing with Heroes is that I enjoyed the first, like, season and a half or so. So it took me a little bit to get fed up enough with it to quit watching.
What was I going to say about Dollhouse? Oh, I'm not a big Joss Whedon fan to begin with. But Dollhouse, it's got 5 good minutes about the mystery of it every episode. That's kind of why I watch. But man, the other 35 plus minutes are just terrible. Like the plot of the week, just like, makes no sense. It's so bad, man. So I don't know why. I want to be as big a writer. Well, people will buy shit of mine that's actually shit. If I can get to that level, I got made. But man, someone should tell Joss Whedon, like, you're trying to extend the Twilight Zone episode, but you made it rubbish, and you're trying to do it every week about the same fucking plot, slightly different. So.
Yeah, I've never really understood the fervor over him. I mean, I tried watching Buffy, and it has not aged well at all, so I couldn't really get into it. But then, like, pretty much the only thing I've enjoyed by him is the Firefly.
Why does everyone bring up Firefly?
Because it was good.
That shit was not good whatsoever. I watched a couple episodes, and I was like, if I was home on Friday night, like, man, this is like a jank Briscoe. It's like Briscoe in space, not as funny, not as well acted, and the sets aren't as good. I'm like, wow, I miss Briscoe. That was my thought. I like, you know, Bruce Campbell, wherever the hell you are, Nathan Fat Fillion or whatever. And then the whole Chinese thing, I was like, are you serious? Chinese would never rule the world.
There's enough of them that they could.
No, Chinese. My friends and I, we joke about this when we throw out racial jokes. And one of them are like, I'm like, dude, we have a discussion. Like, Chinese, man, I don't feel sorry for you guys. Because they get their ass kicked by every fucking race throughout history. It doesn't matter that there's like a billion of them. They're like, yeah. Yeah. It's so true. It's so sad, too. It's really pathetic. I don't get it.
I enjoyed it. That and Astonishing X-Men. And that's the entirety of his body of work that I've enjoyed.
I wasn't a big fan on that. Colossus coming back. I was like, oh. No, what bothered me was the sword. I was like, this is stupid. And the bad guy, like, he's a retard.
What bothered me was the freaking delays with that. It took 3 years to get 20 issues out.
Yeah, it never understood me why there are delays from comic book writers, especially since he wasn't doing anything. Because it's like, dude, you're pumping out a 22-page issue, and you're writing it. I mean, I don't know, writing's hard and everything, but it's a comic book, and it's 22 pages.
But if it's your job, presumably you're better at it than the rest of us.
Yeah, well, it's hard to say.
So it shouldn't be that hard, relatively speaking.
It's hard to say if it was his job, because apparently he was busy. It took him forever. Maybe he was working on, like, the crappy pilot for Dollhouse. So bad. Why am I watching it? Where's my Prison Break? Can we finish up that series? I know why I continued watching it, because sci-fi in their infinite wisdom decides to take a week to put Battlestar. So I'm like a week behind. And Battlestar is not that good. Can we wrap that up? A couple more episodes. Thank God Supernatural's back. Although CW waits till Monday to post their shows online.
I think you're in the minority with Battlestar.
Nah, there are some people, man. No, oh, I was going to say, like, there are some people.
I mean, I'm not... I don't mind it. I watched the first season. It was all right. It wasn't, like, the greatest thing ever, like everyone says it is, but plenty of people do say it is the best thing ever.
That's because they don't watch... They haven't seen much. It's not... It's the first two seasons are really fucking good. It goes quickly downhill from that. This last season, everything's rushed. You can tell they're like wrapping it up. They're like, we only got a few more episodes. There are episodes where they just cram everything in. They're like, wow, dude, that episode just sucked. You can tell. Some people were like, no, it's great, man, it's great. And I'm like, are you seriously? Did you not watch it? I mean, it's great that you learn, you have questions or answers to questions, but it doesn't matter if they just it's just written badly. It's not a good show. I mean, so it's first two seasons excellent, last two seasons rubbish. I don't know. People like a lot of shit. Doesn't mean they're right. That's all right. As long as I got Supernatural and Hell's Kitchen, I am good. Yep. Is there anything else to talk about? I've got nothing. Oh, yeah, I've got some. Have you read The Boys?
I read the first trade.
You didn't like it, did you?
Nope.
Oh, fucking! I just read the first trade. I loved it. I love me The Boys. I was like, man, why haven't I read this earlier?
It's Garth Ennis being crazy for the sake of being crazy with not much story going on.
Nah, there's plenty of story, dude. I forgot the dude's name. The Simon Pegg character. It's mostly about him. And stupid. There's a lot of themes. I thought it would have been, from what I heard, some people said, it's just Garth Ennis being Garth Ennis, going over the top. And then I read it, and I'm like, no, actually it's not. I mean, it's not as bad as Crossed, but it's not as, it's similar to Preacher, but a little more over the top. Maybe it's because, I don't know why. But, yeah.
Crossed is the zombie thing?
Yeah. Still waiting on that to come out. Yeah, that it's not really zombies. It's the non-zombie zombie thing.
Yeah, I heard him talking about that on, I think it was Q-Paw. And the way they described it pretty much made me think I'd want to read it.
No, you would. If you get offended by, like, The Boys.
Well, it's not that I'm offended by it. I just don't see the point.
The point's about, it reminds me, have you seen Justice League, the cartoon show?
No.
Oh, fuck me, man. I can't bring up any reference with you. Well, in this one episode or one two-parter, they go. Some you've probably read comics like this. They go to an alternate universe, right? And the Justice League there has the power has gone in their heads, and they rule with an iron fist and whatnot because Flash died or whatever. And, like, Superman kills Luthor. And I'm like, wow, it kind of reminds me of that. But instead of them doing that, they're wowing out because it's just the same thing. They could do whatever they want because they're superheroes. It's like that. But more sex and drugs. I mean, would I do that? Makes me wonder if I had superpowers, would I be acting out?
I guess it would depend on the superpower.
That's true. The one I would want to have would be lame anyway. Probably wouldn't do anything with it. But it'd be the funnest one. Yeah. So I don't think you'd like Cross.
I am reading the Battlefields miniseries that he's doing for... I think it's IDW that's putting them out. But those are really good. Some World War II stories.
I'm through with World War II. Yeah. All right. Should we get started, I guess?
Yeah, might as well.
All right. Okay. Well, let me do my new segment. I don't care. Okay. Okay, people. So, every show, probably, we have words of wisdom with some Vertigo creator with weird shit that they said. This week is Grant Morrison. And honestly, after hearing some clips, most of them will be Grant Morrison. The dude's whacked out of his mind. I swear to God. Okay, let me play it. There you go. Words of wisdom with Grant Morrison. Which I still can't do a Scottish accent.
When I started doing The Invisibles, which is a comic book for people who haven't seen the thing, It's a comic book, which is kind of my attempt to explain what happened to me after I'd been abducted by aliens in Kathmandu in 1994. And the only reason I was abducted by aliens in Kathmandu in 1994 is because I went to Kathmandu in 1994 to be abducted by aliens.
All right. There you go. Remember, people to be abducted by aliens. Go Kathmandu.
I'm imagining there's some drugs involved
there
in that.
There were some drugs involved. I was thinking of using that clip, and I was like, everyone knows Grant Morrison has drugs, but... Yeah, weird. Can be abducted by aliens. Alright, I'll have to remember that as a writer. Go do drugs and go to Camp Mandu to be abducted by aliens.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
There were people who stood in line for hours to see things like this.
This landing is going to get pretty interesting.
Define interesting.
Oh God, we're all going to die?
There are people who would stand online for hours to see things like this.
The times we were told that we can't. The people who pressed on with that American creed, yes, we can.
The Geek of All Trades podcast is the show for the people who would have done both. Available for free at arkle.silver-gateway.com. masterofnone.mevio.com, and available in the iTunes store in the comedy podcasts section.
Folks are all insane.
Well, my sister's a ship. We had a complicated childhood.
Alright, which, I don't know which book to start off with first. Which book do you want to start off with first?
Let's get Testament out of the way.
I take it you don't like it.
No, you succeeded in finding a book that I hate even more than I hate Preacher.
All right. we'll go with Testament, since, and this is hard. Like, Testament Akadei, just probably should have looked that up, because I don't know what it means, by Douglas Ruskoff and Liam Sharp. A Euro's name I can actually say. Man, this is hard to summarize, but, alright. So, in the not-too-distant future, the world, as you guessed it, is in turmoil. There are constant wars, so many, in fact, that countries are starting to make the draft mandatory. The star of the book, young Jake, a college kid who's, not tagged, is about to be tagged. And everyone is having to be tagged these days, implanted with RFID chips, so that the, essentially the state can know where they're at. Now, Jake's father works at the college and is responsible for the chips, and colleges these days are more military institutes. Now, Jake's friends are involved with some kind of underground resistance, and they're trying to fight back. He hangs out with them. And they're all untagged. And he has a weird acid-type trip in the bath of one of his hot former 17-year-old students, Dinah. Next day or so, not really sure, there's a protest at school, and Jake figures it's going to be dangerous as his dad tells him to stay away. He goes to the college and tries to get his ex, Miriam, to leave, but she doesn't. Now, something happens with all their chips, and the protesters get carted off. The news says that, they're fine, and it was a peaceful demonstration. And Jake follows them, and he gets run off the road and lives because of the gods. Now, Jake and his buddies track the people that were carted off to a secret hideout place. And while having sex with Dinah, Jake and Dinah get captured by some robots. Man, this is sounds stranger to retelling it. Jake's friends escape and go to Jake's father, and since he worked on the robots, there's like a back door, some way he can control them. And he leads the team to the hideout to rescue his son. He does rescue them, and they all go back to their own secret hideouts, and they dunk Miriam in the bath, and she has visions, and the gods expect her to be frozen like the woman who turned to salt, who looked back on Gamora. But she's not. And that's how the book ends. Yeah. So why didn't you like this?
Well, like, I don't have a problem with the two separate stories going on. Like, if either one of them was by themselves, I think I would like it. But in trying to make them where they're related, I think that that doesn't quite work for me. Because I'm trying to see the connection, and most of the time, there doesn't really seem to be one. So that threw me off. And I really don't like the art. It's very, like, early 90s, late 80s kind of art. I don't know.
You said you hated it. Surely you must think of that's it. Come on, you got why else you hate it?
That really is it, because the stories don't. I mean, and I guess what he's doing is trying to prove that, like, or not prove, but show that you know, history is repeating itself with, like, a war between these old gods and all this. It doesn't work for me. Plus, he's taken all kinds of liberties with the biblical stories. Which, I mean, it's fiction, so that's fine, but in trying to connect it, I don't know. I was more annoyed reading it than I was enjoying it.
What were you annoyed with?
Just the story, the way the story was being told. Like I just said.
Well, I was wondering if you were annoyed with the plot itself, or just the way it was told?
Just the way it was told. Like, I think, I suppose the modern age stuff specifically, like if that was just by itself with none of the, like, biblical age stuff, I could get into it more. Because that's a somewhat interesting story, but in trying to connect it to the, like, the story of Abraham and all that, it just falls apart for me.
All right. Well, I kind of agreed with you with the concurrent stories. It was hard to summarize. This is why I left the biblical crap out. I don't know. I kind of like what he's doing. Towards the end, in the beginning, it was a bit confusing. It would have kind of been boring if he had the story side by side. Because if you know a little about some of the Bible stories, you kind of know how it's going to end. But at the end of the issue, or the trade, Miriam, apparently the stories are now going to differ. Because Miriam wasn't scared or something.
She wasn't killed. The Miriam is the analog of Lot's wife, who turns around as they're fleeing Sodom and turns into a pillar of salt. But because they managed to get her out before she was, like, taken out of play or whatever, it's throwing things off.
Yeah. But I guess she's now gonna do some shit. And they expected her to be out of action. What's that demon's name? That god's name?
Moloch.
Moloch. Who's the what's the name of the naked blue chick?
Astarte.
I keep wanting to say Jasmine from Aladdin. I swear, like, Jasmine. I don't know. You know what I enjoyed most about the book? The introduction. I thought, I never heard of Douglas Rushkoff, and I worked in a bookstore. I was like, I don't know who he is. Apparently he has books.
I looked him up online. Apparently he writes a bunch of, like, hacker type stuff, techno realism, and
cyberpunk,
how computers will take over the world and all that kind of nonsense.
Well, you don't believe in Skynet. But no, I thought he was dead on. I was like, yeah, dude, that's what I think about religion. You're dead on. So I might read up some of his stuff. We'll see. But I didn't think I would like it, because I think I read the Vertigo Encyclopedia before this. I really don't remember what it said about, well, the plot. I was like, oh, that sounds rubbish. But, you know, for $9.99, and it deals with one of my favorite subjects, religion, which I hate still, but man, it's fascinating to read. I was like, you know what, let's read that. So it's not bad. I don't know. I enjoyed the art myself, except for the way Jake looked. I don't get how he can have like two hot girls. I'm like, really? he looks like a chick. He's like one of those dudes with the longest hair and seems kind of feminine. And like, man, you're no hero. That's what I was thinking. You're no hero.
I thought it was weird. He's supposed to be like the modern Isaac or whatever, but he's drawn to look more like Jesus or something.
Well, he doesn't look like Jesus, I don't think.
He's closer to Jesus than Isaac. White guy with long hair.
Jesus wasn't a white guy.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying that's how, when people draw Jesus, that's usually how he looks.
Yep. Hey, who would you choose, Miriam or Dinah?
Probably Dinah.
Nah, like the boobs, do you? Boobs and ass. I was just wondering, who's he going to choose? I don't get... See, I was...
Miriam just seems kind of whiny and bossy.
Yeah, well... Yeah, she does. Well, I don't know about whiny, but she does seem bossy and a bit naive. So does Dinah. Hey, I was a bit confused. I don't know, is that... What's her name? You know, Greta? Jake's dad's wife? Is that mm-hmm. Jake's... That's not Jake's mom, is it? She seems young. I thought she was his sister at first. Because his dad... We'll just call him Abraham. I don't even know if that's his name. We'll call him Abraham. I don't even know. He's old. And then I'm looking at her at the beginning. I'm like, she looks about to be a few years older than Jakey. I don't know. But maybe he just married her. It wasn't too clear. Anyways. She's hot, too. There are, like, no ugly women in this book.
Liam, maybe the Liam Sharps thing, he doesn't draw. Well, there was that one, that fat chick in the robot facility thing.
Yeah, well, yeah. But that was... But she's, I think she was drawn that way on purpose.
I just didn't think his mom was his sister or anything, given that the first time we see her, he calls her mom.
Yeah, but I can't... The art was like, how old are you? She looks no older than 30. And she argues with the dad. I'm like, she kind of seems like she herself is in her 20s. I don't know. Hey, which future are you more interested in? This or the world of DMZ?
DMZ.
I could see this one happening more than DMZ, where they bag him and tag him. Rather than a DMZ zone in the middle of nowhere. That makes no sense. You know, they're starting to use RFID chips. Making it a lot harder to steal stuff from stores.
Yeah, you can get them for your pets, too.
You know you can turn ashes and shit into diamond? People are, like, doing it with their pets. Or with their dead loved ones. I don't know.
I didn't know that. That was like a service.
Oh, yeah, I forgot the website. I heard it on some podcasts last night. I was like, really? When I die, you can burn my ashes because I don't want to be a zombie, but please don't turn me into a diamond. Yeah.
That's kind of creepy.
No.
Looks like people do it for like dead humans too.
Well, yeah. I don't know which is worse, the humans or the pets.
I think the humans, probably.
No, I don't know. What do you think this story is about?
At this point, I have no idea. I mean, hopefully that becomes clearer, like, as the series goes on, but...
I mean,
it just seems to be, like, these old gods warring against each other to get control of the Earth.
Well...
Which, I would think there's more to it than that, but...
Yeah, that's... See, I don't know if it was about that, or is it about the young adults trying to find their place in the world, understand it, Or to fight against, you know, the man in the system. Or it could be all of them. Or something else. I think this... I want to say this series ended kind of like Exterminators ended. They wrapped up the storyline, but I think the dude kind of wanted to go a bit further with it. So, I don't know, man, I might pick up the second trade. Like all Vertigo trades, I'm kind of interested because of the first trade, because it kind of picks up towards the end, but so, yeah, I don't know. This is why I'm always confused. Everything else is, I don't know. Yeah, but I think people should give it a shot. I mean, it is only $9.99 minus whatever percents on in-stock trades.
40.
It's 40%? Not that.
I believe so.
Wow. That's even more than the 35, 37. I got my in-stock trade orders the other day, and I ordered so many books, it was like bursting. Well, I didn't order that many. Oh, yeah, I did. And they were big. You know what I hate? They divided the Infinity Crusade into two trades. Well, they got the war in one trade. It's like same thickness, too. Anyways.
Just want more of your money.
Yeah, I mean, they did add the side, a couple issues that went with the plot. And put it in order, unlike the war where they threw them all at the end. That was cool. But man, this shit is overpriced. If I didn't love my Marvel Cosmic. Now I have the. Now I could say my collection is finished. My Thanos collection is finished. And slash Warlock. Because he's in a lot of the fucking books too. It's great. It's great, man. I can read the life of Thanos, starting with the life and death of Captain America, all the way to Annihilation. Yeah, you don't really care.
No, I don't recognize any of these people you're talking about. Really,
you know who Thanos is, man?
I know who they are, but I just don't like. I've never really read much with him in it. Some Silver Surfer stuff, but that was about it.
Okay. I don't know what to say about all that. Yeah, man. Well, that's all I got for Testament Akidae. What does that mean? You want to look that up for me? I'm probably pronouncing it all wrong. Yep. You know what else I ordered while you're looking that up? Because I've really got nothing else to say about Testament. Well, I ordered a lot of... At WonderCon, I picked up some heavy stuff. I had to order some light stuff. Like, I realize that Marvel and DC will never go out. Even if people hate them. Because they do have some enjoyable stories. Like, I mean, I bought a lot of Vertigo stuff and independent stuff over at WonderCon. And I'm reading it. I read, like, the 100 Bullets. And I'm like, wow, this is heavy. All this other stuff, this is heavy. Watchmen is heavy. And then I go, oh. And then I get my other shipment. I'm like, good, I could just read The Infinity Crusade. That's light. I read me some X-Factor. So I get to rotate what I bought. I go read. It's good stuff.
The Akita in Judaism refers to the story of Abraham sacrificing Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that whole story is the Akita.
I prefer the way I say it more. Man, back a day. I'm so.
It doesn't have a translation. I might be saying it wrong too. I don't know.
Well. You got anything else to say about this book?
No, I was just looking at in-stock trades, and I don't think we're gonna be going forward with this one because Volume 2, they don't have it.
Yeah. Well, does Amazon have it?
I don't know.
What is Volume 2? I probably won't be picking it. I got other stuff I'd rather read. They don't have Exiles Volume 11 too. That sucks. I was very disappointed. Because they got the ones around it. It's like, why the fuck do you not have volume 11? Because I wanted to read it, because I bought Exiles, right? I bought like 10 and 12. And I was like, I could just order it, and then couldn't order 11. And 10 was complete shit. It was one of those trades where half of it was story, and it's not even a thick trade, and the rest is just bios. I'm like, wow, dude, Marvel, you totally fucking fucked me in the ass there. I was pissed. It wasn't bios of shit that I didn't know either. It was all the bios of Age of Apocalypse. That was very disappointing. Well, anyway.
They have it on Amazon for $12.
There you go.
No, they don't. Out of stock.
They got it for cheaper. Is it out of stock? It doesn't say out of stock.
It's temporarily out of stock.
Mine says in stock.
For new, anyway. Yeah, they got some used.
No, mine says in stock for new, too.
Is Amazon region specific?
I don't think so. It's a pretty big company. You're not on, like, UK Amazon, are you?
No.
Like, you could buy all three for $32.07. I don't want to do the math on that. Well, all three.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe we're looking at different versions or something. Yeah. Mine's got 10, 11, 12, all three for $36.01.
Man, I save a couple bucks. Anyways, enough about this testament. Let's go to Salvation and the great Garth Ennis. So, we're on the seventh trade of Preacher Salvation. Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon. And let's see. Where are my notes here? Alright, let me summarize this. It's kind of harder because it's longer. Alright, well, anyways. So, in the beginning of the story. At the beginning of the day. no one understands that but me. I'm a crazy guy. Anyways, Jesse is driving around because he doesn't know what to do. He feels lost and betrayed by Cassidy and Tulip. He ends up in a small town in Salvation, Texas. While there, he does what he does best. Kicking people's asses and saving women. He saves Lori, the sister of his childhood friend. Oh, Billy Bob! Fuck, ever since I've watched Varsity Blues, I can no longer say Billy Bob without thinking of the way John Voight says it. You know what I mean?
I never saw that. Oh my god.
Yeah. You haven't seen it?
No.
Like the whipped cream scene is, I mean, this is in high school, so it's like perfect. It's like, oh, Billy Bob, Billy Bob, Billy Bob. John Voight playing like a white southern dude is great. You with the damn dumb smartest kid I know. Yeah. You gotta watch it. It's on TBS, although it's edited, but it's still good. You gotta go buy the DVD. It's like $5. Yeah. Anyways, the sheriff of the town offers Jesse a job as deputy, but Jesse turns him down. He says he'll only be the sheriff. And the sheriff agrees because he finally grows a conscience as he's been paid off by Odin Quincannon, the owner of the meat factory, which supplies a lot of jobs. The sheriff, well, he skips town and gets killed on his way out. And then Jesse beats Odin, and he throws Odin out the window. And you can tell there's going to be a fight between those two. And Odin's like some little shrimp of a guy with glasses and talks to himself in third person. He's really weird. Jesse puts things together and figures out Jody, whom he met and owns the bar around there, is actually his mom, Christina. And Christina escaped Jody, because as in all comic books, she died. Well, to be fair, they even when they die on panel in Marvel and DC, they come back. But in this one, she died off panel in trade whatever, I forget. Two, probably two. So we assume she was dead. There's just a gunshot heard, but she escaped from Jody because he's slow, and she kicked them in the huevos. Although a bullet grazed her head, and a crocodile bit off her arm. It was probably a crocodile.
It's a gator. Well,
crocodiles attack people. Alligators don't.
There's no crocodiles in Louisiana, though.
Well, go look that up. There you go, make sure. Because people always think alligators attack people, but they don't really.
Alligators will attack people if you walk right up on one like she did.
Well, she was in the water. It's hard to say if he would have attacked her. Anyways, it bit off her arm. She was rescued by some hunters, but she lost her memory. And when she woke up in a psychiatric ward or a loony bin, she would scream out, "Jody!" So they named her Jody with an I-E. She only just regained her memory when Jesse called her mom. She would start to go back to Anvil or Angelville. I can always get them mixed up. To rescue Jesse, but every time she did, she'd start to forget and it hurt. So she just stopped. So, there's a nice little touching reunion there. Quincannon tries to have Jesse killed, but the bomb goes off in his car too late. Jesse goes over to kill him, but Cindy, Jesse's deputy, stops him. She convinces him to try to do things by the law since he wears that shield. Now Jesse gets to kicking some more ass and meeting the folks of Salvation. And Quincannon, in the meantime, calls him the KKK because Cindy's black. But Jesse, as always, he kicks their ass too. Like any Western or hero, he saves the day. At the end of the book, is it going to him? Yeah. Oh, he saves the day and kills Quincannon. And blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the book, I almost said at the end of the day. Fuck me. He finds his peyote. I might as well have just said it is what it is, too. Awesome. You know, there's not a day that goes by where I can't, where I don't hear either one of those sayings, but probably both. Like, everyone always says, people don't even realize it. They're just like, at the end of the day. Oh. Anyways, at the beginning of the day, he takes the peyote and his memory of what happened on that fateful day after he told Cassidy to let him go comes to him. He trips out a bit, seeing his dead family and Jody and TC, Tulip. But afterwards, he sees God. Now, God either saved him or resurrected him. There it really says. After he fell from the plane. Now, God tries to convince Jesse to leave him alone. After some, yelling and accusations and name-calling, Jesse tries to use the word, but God chokes him and rips out his eye with his teeth. Oh, I probably should have mentioned that Jesse also... He has an eye patch. He's a pirate. But God runs. That's hard to say what God would have done. But God runs when he sees the saint. And the saint wants to give Jesse a mercy killing, but Jesse, he says no. And he says the saint's going to help him take God down. Yeah, the saint says, piss off, and then he leaves. Well, since he took the peyote near the ocean... He's drowning, and his dog Skeeter saves him. Well, hi, Jesse wanted to take drugs near the ocean. A psychedelic drug near the ocean, I don't know. That's the end of that.
Sure, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Maybe it was a nice day. It wasn't even a nice day. It was cloudy. It started the storm. You could tell a storm was rolling in. But, yeah. So, do you hate this trade also?
No, except for that one issue. I actually really liked this one.
And this is the second best trade, I think, of the series.
The only issue I didn't like was the tripping on drugs issue. But the rest of it, I liked a lot.
No, you didn't? Okay. I didn't like the drugs issue. I mean, we all know drugs are bad. Blah, blah, blah.
I think this... I've liked all the parts of the series that don't involve his weird spiritual quest thing. Like where he's fighting his family or you know, fighting the Klan, this one, and what's Shorty Man. But when he starts bringing, like, the angels and God stuff back into it, is when I start not enjoying
it. Why not?
It's just... That's so sacrilegious.
I knew it. I knew that was sacrilegious. Why is it sacrilegious? He's trying to get God to answer for his creation. What's so sacrilegious about that?
Just the fact that, like, there something exists that is more powerful than God is sacrilegious in and of itself. But then, like, the, you know, just the idea that God can be held accountable by a human is kind of silly.
Well, he's not like a regular human. He does have more power. Well, it's hard to say more power than God, but he does have the word.
He's got more power. He's got more power than a normal human. Still, I mean, by definition, God is all powerful, so you can't be more powerful than God.
Well, it depends which definition, because God isn't all powerful, depending on which one you use.
If you're going with Judeo-Christian God, which I'm assuming Ennis is in this,
yeah,
then he is.
Well, no, I would say he's not, because, all right, so God created free will, right? You agree on that?
Yep.
Free will, by definition, means, so he has no control over stuff. Right? Because it's free will. Hence, he's not all-powerful.
No, that's not the same thing. Being free will meaning that I can choose to do what I want to do or not do what I want to do, that doesn't mean that I can, like, take on God and hold him responsible for anything.
No, I agree, but I'm just... that's not the point of my argument. My argument is that God isn't as all-powerful as you or others think. Just by the definition that he made it so, because he gave people free will and free will to choose, and he can't do anything about it.
No, he can, though, because he's God. It's one of those things where he could make you do something, but he chooses not to.
No, he can, because he doesn't have a choice. He gave everyone the choice of free will to piss on him, for instance. Like, he doesn't want everyone. He doesn't want Jesse to be pissing on him and fucking hunting him down, does he? But he doesn't he doesn't force him to stop, because he can't.
But that's in the preacher universe, and, like, it's going to be controversial with you for calling it the real universe and saying this, but, like, in the real world.
Okay.
That couldn't happen.
Why couldn't it? I don't get it. Okay, so we'll go with, he gave free will. Like, we'll even use the Lightbringer. We'll use Lucifer as an example. Why would God want the devil? The devil's evil and bad, right? Surely he can force them to get back.
What are you talking about?
Well, because God, my argument is God is not all-powerful. In any belief, a God is certainly more powerful than me. But he's not all-powerful. Like, he can't. Like, if he could force Jesse to leave him alone, he would. He had to physically choke him so he wouldn't use the word on him. You get what I mean, dude?
Within the context of Preacher, yeah. But,
okay, but
I just don't like it.
But in the real world, with a being that could do whatever, he's not even that powerful. Well, he's not. He's pretty much the same. Well, it's hard to say if he has his corporeal being. But anyways, that's besides the point. The point is, he created free will, and if it's like, you have no control over free will. You can influence, like, if I wanted information out of someone, I can influence them by torturing them or threatening them, but at the beginning of the day...
Letting people choose is not taking any of your power away, because you can still, if you're God, you can still, if you wanted to, force them to do something.
No, it depends whether you believe in free will or not. If you do believe in free will, then you could do whatever, no matter what anyone says, and your destiny's not written. If you don't believe in free will, then sure, some being can force you to do it. Now, I'm just basing this off your God.
No, like I believe in free will. I believe that humans have, that God has given us the right to either, you know, serve God or not. But that doesn't mean that if he wanted to, God couldn't force us to do anything he wanted to, because he is all-powerful. The two are not mutually exclusive.
Well, why did he give free will in the first place, then?
Because he didn't want humans to just be slaves, like the angels are.
Well, if you believe that, why would he... You can't, it's free will. I don't get how you don't see that. Free will is, you're not bound. Like, humans aren't, especially humans. Like, I could see.
No, I'm not saying that humans are bound to do what God says. What I am saying is that if he wanted to, God could force us to be bound. He doesn't, but he could.
But what is your basis that he could? Like, what instance?
The fact that he's all powerful.
Well, no, not even. I'm just saying, like, you can use a biblical reference. Like, what instance did he say? Did he actually do that? He hasn't, so I don't think he can.
Right, he hasn't because he chooses not to.
See,
but he also says that all power is his. So if he wanted to, he could.
I don't think he could. Because there's no evidence that he could, and the fact that the only way
I would be willing to accept that he can't is because he said he wouldn't, and like the Bible says the only thing that it's impossible for God to do is lie. So I mean, if he did, that would prove that wrong. So he's not going to.
So the Bible even hampers him further by saying he can't lie.
Right. He's incapable
that's
of lying.
Not, he's that's not all-powerful, then, if you can't even lie.
That's not really a power, though. It's like, if you're God, why would you even need to lie?
But no, it doesn't matter if you would need to or not. It's just, if you can't do...
God can't breathe either, but why would he need to?
No, but if he can't... Well, it depends if you believe he was Jesus, in which case he did breathe.
Well, as Jesus, yes, but as God, no.
Well, no, but then he made himself a body, and then, you know, he had the weaknesses of a human. It depends whether you believe that or not. Some don't. But the point is, if he has any restriction whatsoever, he's not all powerful, as omnipotent as you're saying. If he has any restriction.
But if you set the restrictions that are on you yourself, then you still are all-powerful. Well, I mean, no one is telling God that he can't lie. He's saying that himself.
It doesn't matter. Even if you give yourself a restriction, but you can't undo it, like free will, or you just have a restriction...
Well, but that's like saying that because I choose not to murder someone, I don't have the power to murder someone. I do have the power to do that. I just choose not to.
No, you... That's good.
So far.
But that is an action. There's no evidence that he can undo. There's no logic, especially since he gave free will. There's no logic that he... I think if you look at humanity as his experiment, he's outgrown. Like, you know, in the Terminator, the machines have outgrown humanity. So, in this way, if you look at humanity, we've outgrown him.
No. Because at the end of the day,
when you die,
still left to his mercy. I know I said that. At the end of your life, when you die, you're still left with his judgment. So he still has ultimate power over you.
Just because you die, if you believe that.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. He's not. See?
I mean, if someone gets to decide where you spend eternity, that's, you know... At least as far as you're concerned, that's ultimate power.
It's not really ultimate power for me, but I don't even believe in that crap. I just don't get... See, I don't get how you could... Like, you could say he's really powerful, right? Which would probably be accurate. More accurate than saying he's all-powerful. Because he's not.
But he is. I mean, if you believe, as a Christian... in the Bible and all that, The Bible says he's all powerful, so he's all powerful.
Well, the Bible says he can't lie, and he gave mankind free will, and that he can't do anything against.
But that doesn't take away. That doesn't take away his ability.
But you have no proof. There's no logic so that.
Well, I can't prove that God even exists.
Yeah, I know. That's why I can't argue with you religious people, because you guys don't use logic, and it's like, well, shit, if I didn't know the world was round, I would fucking think it's square as fuck.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, any kind of religious issue, I mean, it's really pointless arguing two views when neither person wants to change, because no matter how you believe, whether you believe there's no God or you believe there is a God, it's a matter of faith. Like, I will never be able to convince you using like real world proof that there is a God. You will never be able to convince me using that same proof that there isn't.
No, it's not even proof. It's just logic. There's no logic.
But even using logic, by definition, God is so much bigger and all that than humans are, that there's no way we could really even understand it completely.
Yeah. Okay.
So even that
you just said that, right? Yeah. You. Think you understand that God is all powerful, which makes no sense.
Well, yeah, but I understand God is all powerful because he told me.
No,
he
didn't exactly write the Bible, first of all. But you just said said we can't understand. Which I agree. I could never understand.
We can't understand completely. We can understand, you know, facets of God.
No,
but there's no way we can understand like the entirety of his being.
Exactly, which means you have no idea how powerful he is or what his reasonings would be. Which
I do have an understanding of how powerful he is, because I was told how powerful he is.
You were told by humans, right?
But humans that were inspired by God.
Inspired by I'm inspired by, like, stepping outside. What the fuck does that mean? Like, you just contradicted yourself, and you don't see it. It's very...
I didn't contradict
myself. You did. You said
everything that we know... But everything we... No, I'm saying I can't understand God like the way I would understand another human being. Because there's no... I have no point of reference for that other than what is in the Bible. So if it's in the Bible, I can understand that aspect of God.
Well, no, you could just understand what was written, but you don't know the reasoning behind it or how anyone felt. Because you can't. You could do that with any book. Now, I don't understand why Garth Ennis wrote
but it's a little bit different in that, like, I believe that God told people what to write. I don't believe that God told Garth Ennis to write Preacher.
I can't argue with you because I don't get it. You contradict yourself and you don't see it. That's what I don't get.
I don't see it as a
I just told you, though. You said we can't understand, yet you do understand. That's like, what the fuck?
I'm not saying just blanket, you can't understand, but I do. I'm saying there are parts of God that we can't understand. There are other parts that we can.
Okay. I don't, you're a funny guy, Jonathan. Like, we can't do understand. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, okay.
Maybe we should just get back to the book itself.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's see. So what did you like about this trade, since you said you liked it?
It was basically just a Western kind of cop story. That I thought the short guy, whatever his name is,
Cannon.
He's funny.
I don't, as much as I enjoyed this trade, I don't get where fucking a meat woman, like where Ennis got that idea and what that's supposed to represent.
Maybe he's just obsessed with meat. When they finally revealed what it was everyone was getting sick on, I didn't really understand why they were so, like, grossed out by it. I mean, other than you're just, like, screwing a slab of meat, but still.
I don't know. See, like, if I was there, the one thing about comics is you can't get a feel for other senses. Like, if you smelt all that different meat, and is it fresh? And then the meat factory itself is disgusting, but to have all that, you're like, oh, I might puke. Let's see a little dude. Oh, if I imagined, that's nasty. That's nasty. But
it's nasty. But I don't know that it would make me, like, run out barfing like it did the lawyer or anything like that.
Yeah. I like how the lawyer was in the Nazis.
Like, that just came out of nowhere and had no relevance to anything.
I could see that. To me, what came out of nowhere was the Gunther storyline. You know, where the guy was the spy, or I guess he was a former head Nazi guy, killed a lot of Jews.
Yeah, I didn't understand why he would even mention anything to Custer to begin with. If he hadn't said anything, he never would have been found out.
Well, he wanted, I guess he wanted forgiveness. I just don't get why it was in there. Kind of, it just seemed out of place. And I don't know, because I was rooting for Gunther and Christina to get together. But he hung himself. I could be wrong, but I think his storyline had to do with facing the past, and since Jesse had been ignoring his for the past 7 months, Gunther kind of made him realize that he has work to do. Well, that and John Wayne.
I guess. I don't know. I didn't mind it. I just, like, in connection to the overall story, I don't really understand why it was there, but I didn't mind it while I was reading it. I thought it was entertaining enough.
See, I thought this trade was needed, especially after the last one, Warren the Sun. So as much as I wanted Jesse to go see Cassidy and Tulip again, it was good that he didn't. Took this little side route. He needed a breather. I don't know. But also, as much as I hated Dylan's artwork on Cindy, I'm like, dude, she looks like a dude with that haircut. I did like the relationship.
I thought it was a dude on the cover.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Well, I guess you got the old cover. The newer covers are with old Quinn Cannon squeezing a sausage. Which I don't know if that's supposed to symbolize his dick or just
the old cover is Custer, and then he's got his mom and the deputy behind him.
Yeah, but he kind of looks evil.
Yes, he does. Did you, the first time you read this, did you know that? Like, did you see it coming that the white-haired chick was his mom?
No, I was blown away. I was like, oh, shit, that's his mom! And he still doesn't cry.
I didn't see it coming at all, just because she wasn't drawn. I mean, apart from the white hair, she wasn't drawn to look old or anything. I just thought it would be like a storm situation where she had white hair.
Well, I think what I didn't see was she didn't act like Christina. She's kind of tougher, and the fact that it's her hair mostly. It is in the back. She kind of looks butch, like gay butch. Dykes with Bikes kind of butch.
Yeah. Well, I kind of thought that too. Like maybe her and the one-eyed chick had something going on.
Yeah.
But
no, but then when she puts her hair down, and I guess she starts to dress a little more feminine, then it's like, oh, okay, I can see it. I can see it. But until then, she's wearing, like, jeans and shit. I don't know. I think Jesse should have banged the lawyer chick. And Cindy. I think he should bang everyone. Since Tulip's banging Cassidy, which is fucked up still. I don't know. Yeah, Jesse's a pimp. I wish I was getting all the ladies. Ladies! Here, instead, I'm stuck with you. No offense. Don't take that the wrong way. Then I'm gonna go hang out with the guys today. Rubbish. I'm glad they don't listen. They might be offended too. No offense, guys. Yeah. Alright. You got anything else for that? For that storyline?
Nope. Alright.
So, it wouldn't be there's like one more plot. It wouldn't be a Garth Ennis or a Preacher trade without having two plots. But this one's an issue. Or this one's just one issue. So the last issue, when Jesse decides to leave, he goes meet Space at the Vietnam Memorial. Well, the Vietnam Memorial's in D.C., right?
Yep.
I don't get why he... Texas, the D.C.
Maybe he's going to go up to New York. I don't know.
I think he does. That's what confused me even more. Is one just...
It's probably closer from D.C. to New York. I mean, it's definitely closer from D.C. to New York than it is from Texas to New York.
Yeah, but why not just... I don't know if he's... I think he's... Well... I think it might get explained.
Maybe just, wanted to meet Space and find out about his dad's Medal of Honor.
That's true. But it does kind of seem to go out of left field. But, he meets Space. And then he asks Space to tell him the story about how his father got the Medal of Honor. Oh, quick side note. If you had an eye missing, what would you have? What would you do?
Eye patch.
You know what I was thinking I might do? You ever see Star Trek VI? The one-eyed Klingon? He has the eye patch.
Or it's like bolted onto his...
I would probably do that if it's not... I don't know, how painful would that be? Like,
I don't even know if that would work in real life.
It's gotta work. That'd be interesting. Do they staple stuff on... Or they do stuff to the skull? It's gotta work. I'd have that and start quoting Shakespeare. That'd just be cool. Anyways, so back in Vietnam, Space and Texas's chopper gets shot down before they could leave. And Space, you got... Took one in the leg. And Space had... Space had, Texas have to walk 200 clicks to enemy territory. They almost lose it as they argue with each other and threaten to kill each other. You know, good old stuff. While avoiding the Viet Cong. Now, every time I say or hear the word Viet Cong, I'm going to think of Tropic Thunder. It's not... They keep going, and Texas carries Space through the minefield surrounding the base, who's commanded by the dude from the last trade. I think he's a captain at this time, Captain Holden,
mm-hmm.
While they're getting shot at by American forces. And they get patched up. Jesse's dad gets the Medal of Honor, and they never see each other after that. Now, at the end of the book, Jesse leaves the Medal of Honor there because he feels he doesn't deserve it. And Space stays there to be with his dudes. And there you go. What'd you think of that story?
All right.
You love Enos's war stories. Let me see your war face. Hurrah!
It wasn't bad. Just kind of a throwaway story. Like he needed to fill some time or something.
Yeah, I wonder if it was a... Nah, it was in a one-shot. I guess it was just... issue 50. Issue 50? Yeah. I don't know. It was good. Now, my favorite part was when Space started to kill himself. And then, so Texas pulled out a gun to stop him from killing himself. And you're like, what the fuck you doing? What the fuck you doing? I thought that was hilarious. But I'm still amazed at how great a writer Garth Ennis is when it comes to the war stories. He doesn't glorify or criticize it. He just tells it how it is. And it just feels right. I mean, how things should be. Which is it's weird.
I think that really his strong suit in writing is the war stories.
I agree. Although I enjoy his other shit. Like The Boys. And The Preacher, of course. I think in his past life, he was a World War II and a Vietnam vet. Well, how old is he? Well, maybe not a Vietnam vet. Maybe Korean War. He was a vet. Well, he could have died young enough. I think in his past lives, he was in a war or two. It's hard to say. Yeah, that's good stuff. You know, you might like the next trade next.
I'm sure I'll get a chance to find out in a couple episodes.
It involves your favorite, Cassidy. Although you probably don't like him anymore, right?
No, I was the one defending
him last time. I don't like him once he start sleeping with Tulip there. I don't like him anymore. I mean, that's how it is up until then. But kind of just want Jesse to kick his ass. Yeah. Well, is that it? I kind of got to take a dump.
Thanks for sharing that.
I just woke up. I got to take my morning dump. Yeah. That's all I got to say about dumps and preacher.
Alrighty then. So, the new person is going to be on next time, right?
You should have said it was a surprise, so we can keep people tuned in.
It's still a surprise as to who it's going to be.
Well, yeah, well, it would have been anyway. Yeah, well, new person on. Let's see if she records Sunday. I'm going to a wedding. Hopefully there'll be non-relative hot chicks there. I'm hoping.
Just keep hope alive. So, next episode, we will be reviewing the book and the movie for V for Vendetta. So, go read that and watch that. If you want to send us an email, it's vertigocast@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 206-888-2601. Visit our website at viewforvertigo.com. Or visit us on the forums at comicforums.com, and we're down at the bottom. So, I'm Jonathan.
And I've been Mark Johnson.
And we'll talk to you later.
Good night, Canada.
I grew up like a rolling stone. They gathered no moss, steady roaming from home to home. Sometimes at a loss, I had no control. But it helped me find myself and know my soul. So I started on the west coast with Pac and Snoop, and learned street smarts that they never taught at school. Teachers knew I was not a fool. Didn't care what I wore long as I rocked the hottest shoes. And yeah, I thought I was cool, reppin' the west. And that seaside view, I could never forget. Cali raised me into it, I'm forever in debt. It's why I learned to brawl in case someone ever would step. And yes, then I went overseas to sew and live with grandparents that I didn't even know. We couldn't afford all it takes, so I slept on the floor, feeling grandma's warm embrace.
Welcome to episode 16 of View for Vertigo, where we talk about Vertigo trades every 2 weeks. I'm Jonathan. Hello?
Oh, my bad. Can we try it? Can we start over? All right, let's start over.